Discord chat app, and Twitter threads, and start discussing and debating what it all means. Trump has retweeted QAnon conspiracy theorists' material, but he has generally refrained from talking explicitly about Q. That is, until August 19th, 2020, when at a press conference, he was asked about the conspiracy theory. Published in the New York Times. On Wednesday, President Trump encouraged QAnon supporters. This viral conspiracy theory has gained widespread traction among people who claim that the president is secretly fighting a criminal group of sex traffickers and indicated that his supporters were patriots disturbed by the violence in democratic cities. "I've heard there are people who love our country," Mr. Trump said, apparently about the coronavirus, during a White House news conference. "So I just don't know anything other than they're going to do like me about it." When told by a reporter about the core concept of the QAnon theory, a conviction that Mr. Trump is protecting the planet from a satanic cult made up of pedophiles and cannibals linked to Democratic Party leaders, so-called deep state actors and Hollywood celebrities, Mr. Trump did not doubt the legitimacy of the campaign or the reality of those statements. Instead, he gave his assistance. "Could that be a negative thing or a good thing?" the president said lightly, addressing a reporter who asked if he would be able to accept that idea. "If I can help save the world from problems, I'm happy to do so. I'm ready to put myself out there." Drain the swamp. On October 17th, Donald Trump declared during a speech on ethics reform, "It's time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C." A day later, he repeated the term in a tweet, adding the hashtag #DrainTheSwamp for good measure. It was late in the search for a new slogan, but the crowd was soon chanting it. Trump was not the first to use the term. In the 1980s, Ronald Reagan loved it, and decades ago, at the other end of the political spectrum, leftists have wanted to drain the swamp of capitalism. Trump himself had at first been suspicious of the locution. He had told the story at a rally in Des Moines. "Funny how caught the word on, isn't it? I confess to everyone, I hated him. Someone said, drain the swamp, and I said, ah, that's just hokey. That's so bad, I said, well, I'm going to try it. So I said like a month ago, drain the swamp, and the place was going wild. And I was thinking, whoa, what is this? I said it again then, and then I began to say it the way I want to, no? And then I said it. I began to love it, and it loved the spot. Swamp drain. That is real. That is a real swamp drain." A hard-fought campaign has moments where a catchy cluster of words will unexpectedly pop up from the surface. A shiny new lily pad. Drain the swamp worked on several levels. It was aggressive, it was funny, and it sounded like something a man might say in the real estate industry. It gave no details, another plus, and kept a folksy charm. What are QAnon? In recent years, a segment of the internet has been involved in a sort of game in which people extrapolate meaning from cryptic messages posted on internet forums by an anonymous individual pretending to be a high-ranking government official known as Q. While this supposed government insider has repeatedly made inaccurate predictions, QAnon followers have become convinced of a deep state. Although this conspiracy theory was once relegated to the fringes of the internet, it has taken a significant step forward in mainstream politics since. Despite being branded as a threat by the FBI, QAnon supporters have found some success in seeking political office, winning more than 500,000 collective votes, and potentially gaining support from the highest government office. QAnon isn't a fringe conspiracy theory anymore. It is a common ideology that teaches people to disregard institutions of truth and mistrust. Although there might never come a rain, Q is already here. Chapter 3, QAnon and the Pizzagate Conspiracy. Is QAnon similar to Pizzagate? Yeah and no. QAnon was described as Pizzagate's big-budget sequel because it takes the original Pizzagate conspiracy theory, which claimed wrongly that Mrs. Clinton and her cronies operated a child sex trafficking ring from the basement of a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant, and adds even more layers of a plot to it. But many people believe in both theories, and Pizzagate provided a kind of conspiracy theory on-ramp for many QAnon believers. One new feature in QAnon is a range of forecasts that is simple and precise about when and how the hurricane will play out. QAnon has predicted for years that mass arrests of cabal members will take place on certain days, that specific government reports will expose the misdeeds of the cartel, and that Republicans will gain several seats in the 2018 midterm elections. None of those predictions has been realized, but most of the QAnon faithful didn't notice. They also found ways of reframing the story, ignoring the contradictions, and moving on. What is Pizzagate? It all began in early November 2016, when an email from a Clinton campaign manager, John Podesta, was hacked, and WikiLeaks released the messages. According to the New York Times, one of the emails was between Podesta and D.C. pizza owner James Alefantis, Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria. The message spoke of Alefantis hosting a potential Clinton fundraiser. Website users 4chan started speculating about the ties between Comet Ping Pong and the Democratic Party, according to the BBC, with one especially disgusting relation bubbling to the surface. The pizzeria is the headquarters of a Clinton and Podesta-led child trafficking ring. Really? Hey. The conspiracy theory that influential Democratic Party members are somehow involved in a multinational system of child trafficking has taken hold in conservative far-right blogs. The conspiracy theory linking this false theory to Comet kicked around 4chan, according to the BBC, before somebody posted a long document with proof to Reddit's now-banned alt-right section several days before the U.S. presidential election. The alt-right is a radical community of far-right extremists, mostly composed of white nationalists and old-fashioned racists, who express their belief in online propaganda in different types. The Turkish nation also participates in the spread of Pizzagate. Around mid-November, a pro-government media group in Turkey began tweeting the conspiracy theory using the hashtag Pizzagate, the BBC explained. According to the Daily Dot, the explanation is that Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's supporters were trying to accuse opponents of hypocrisy. A real child abuse scandal had rocked a foundation linked to the Turkish government, and supporters of Erdogan were wondering why people were not upset about Pizzagate, too. That was, in other words, intended as a diversion. How does Comet Ping Pong play into all of this? The restaurant opened in D.C. with 120 seats. In year 2006, and according to the New York Times, ping pong tables and craft rooms are considered a kid-friendly venue, Local artists, including the band Fugazi, also played host to concerts. The owner of Comet Ping Pong, Alifantis, is an artist and D.C. native who, according to the Times, was a Clinton supporter but had never met her. In the Democratic Party, Alifantis has famous colleagues. The restaurant is frequented by John Podesta's brother, Tony Podesta. Even Alifantis was in a partnership with David Brock, the founder of the Media Matters for America website. The Times described Brock as a former right-wing inflammatory journalist who had become an outspoken advocate for Mrs. Clinton. Because of this nonsense, the employees and customers of the restaurant have come under constant online attacks. As fake news stories on far-right conservative sites started to pile up and spread online, Comet Ping Pong's Facebook page and Instagram feed began to fill up with comments to the tune of, "We're onto you. I'm going to kill you personally," read one post, the Times notes. Alifantis and its 40-person employees have received abusive phone calls and text messages. Photographs of the children posted online by consumers were taken and used as evidence of the ring of child abuse in posts. Many of those clients retained attorneys to get the pictures wiped, the Times reported. As the threats mounted, including one person arriving at the restaurant to investigate for himself, Alifantis called both local police and the FBI. He also contacted Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit in an attempt to erase the conspiracy theory posts and news. Nothing worked. Continued mounting social media messages, emails, and phone calls. Ultimately, the crisis boiled into real brutality. Edgar Madison Welch was arrested on December 4th outside of the Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria in the moments before police arrested him. On Sunday afternoon, 28-year-old Edgar Madison Welch of Salisbury, North Carolina, walked through the restaurant's front door and pointed out an assault weapon in the direction of an employee. The employee fled and called police, but Welch fired his pistol, probably hitting the walls, door, and a monitor. Nobody got injured. According to the Washington Post, which says Welch emerged about 45 minutes later, his hands in the air, to surrender to officials, police surrounded the pizzeria. He told police that he had been going to the restaurant to self-investigate sex trafficking ring allegations. He bore a rifle from Colt AR-15, a handgun from Colt 38, a shotgun, and a folding knife. Police charged him with assault of a deadly weapon, other firearms violations, and property loss. According to Slate, Welch earlier allegedly crashed his Buick LeSabre into a teenage pedestrian in North Carolina. WBTV confirmed that the 13-year-old suffered head, chest, and leg injuries. WBTV remained on the scene before police arrived, added WBTV, although a witness said Welch did not attempt to avoid hitting the pedestrian. Alifantis pointed out the risks of fake news in a statement after the Comet incident. "What happened today shows that spreading false and irresponsible conspiracy theories comes with implications," he said. "I hope those interested in fanning these flames can take a moment to consider what happened here today and avoid pushing these falsehoods immediately." Welch wasn't the only vigilante would-be to threaten Comet Pizza. Welch, who told The Times that he thought Hillary Clinton had personally killed children, wasn't the only one to threaten the pizzeria. Brian Jaselskis walked into the restaurant in 2019 and set a curtain on fire. Workers and a customer were able to put out the flames before the fire spread. Jaselskis, who had a history of mental illness, was sentenced to 4 years in prison. The shooting didn't stop the situation from inflaming those close to Trump. Shortly after the Comet Ping Pong incident, Michael Flynn Jr., the son of Trump's former national security advisor, the retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, backed the conspiracy theory by tweeting, "The story posted on Twitter by Michael Jr. indicates Welch's acts were intended as a false flag and will now be leveraged to push for independent media control," Politico said. Michael Jr. is not only the son of Flynn. He was his chief of staff and his closest advisor, according to the Washington Post. But he may be taking in spreading false rumors after his dad. Elder Flynn, who led chants at the Republican National Convention to lock her up, tweeted a link to a false news report alleging police in New York had discovered a connection between Clinton, her staff, and the child sex ring. So why didn't Pizzagate go away? Eventually, several elements of Pizzagate were incorporated into the larger QAnon conspiracy theory, which claims that Donald Trump is secretly manipulating the deep state's collapse and its powerful pedophile network. That is not true at all. But Pizzagate came roaring back in 2020 when the idea found a new younger audience on sites like TikTok, previously associated exclusively with older Trump supporters. And, although the idea has grown, it's become less specifically political, morphing to unfairly accuse celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres and Chrissy Teigen and brands like Wayfair. Wait, what does this mean to Wayfair? A Reddit user ignited a viral conspiracy theory in July with a post about cabinets being sold by online furniture retailer Wayfair of other items. The cabinets, all of which cost over $10,000, had been given female names on the website as their product titles. Soon, there was circulating across the internet the idea that Wayfair was selling children disguised as furniture. Wayfair denied it by arguing that the products earned their high prices because they were cabinets of industrial quality and that an algorithm had called them. That did not stop believers from doing their signature, however, deranged a deep dive into trying to tie the firm to child violence. It imports this material from Twitter. You can find the same material in another format, or you can find more information on their website. And since Ellen DeGeneres has a relationship with Wayfair, Pizzagaters determined she's in on the smuggling of children somehow. And some of her old tweets surfaced. Chrissy Teigen caught the attention of the conspirators. At the same time, Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, who had taken breaks from their late-night shows for the summer, were perceived by the Pizzagate addled as trying to hide their involvement in the plot. But people took the idea to heart. Reporter Shira Frankel of the New York Times said in an interview that pandemic lockdown-induced boredom could help fuel some of Pizzagate's interest on TikTok. Teens she talked to say they would have posted conspiracy videos simply because it seemed interesting. But others, including Welch, are adamant about taking Pizzagate seriously. A woman tearfully told writer Jeff Charlotte at one Trump rally that the Clintons are eating children. There are plenty of true believers, and the FBI has listed radical conspiracy theorists as a threat to domestic terrorism in 2019. Thankfully, a few sites stepped to curb the spread of this viral mythology. Reddit suspended the subreddit Pizzagate in 2016 and a community QAnon in 2018. And Twitter purged thousands of QAnon-linked accounts in July and introduced steps to prevent QAnon posts from being amplified. Then, TikTok removed the QAnon hashtags. As conspiracies appear to jump ship for rival platforms in the aftermath of crackdowns, it's uncertain how successful this would be in halting the spread. However, hopefully, robust restraint can help restrict Pizzagate to the margins of the site. How many people trust QAnon? It is hard to tell, since there is no official directory of membership, but it is not a small number. And if you count just the hardcore QAnon believers, excluding QAnon light adherents, who might believe in a deep state conspiracy against Mr. Trump, but not a cabal of child-eating Satanists, that number can be at least in the hundreds of thousands. Some of Facebook's most prominent QAnon groups have over 100,000 members each, and Twitter recently announced that it was taking steps to restrict the scope of more than 150,000 QAnon-associated accounts. A recent NBC News report showed that Facebook had done an internal analysis of the presence of QAnon on its website, and it concluded that there were thousands of QAnon groups with millions of members among them. The number has probably increased during the pandemic as people trapped indoors turn to the internet to be drawn into the QAnon community for entertainment and socializing. A recent article in the Wall Street Journal found that membership has increased by more than 600% since the start of lockdowns in March. Why draw any people to the QAnon movement? One common misunderstanding is that QAnon is solely a political movement. Yet it works as both a social network and a source of entertainment for people who believe in it. Some people likened QAnon to a huge online multiplayer game because of the way it allows players to co-create a sort of shared world filled with recurring characters, changing plot lines, and challenging puzzle-solving quests. QAnon has often been compared to a church in that it offers a social support system for its members as well as an overarching framework for their daily lives. Adrian Hahn, a game designer who wrote about the similarities of QAnon to alternate reality games, says believers open a fascinating fantasy universe with secret wars and cabals, and Hillary Clinton is manipulating everything, and provide plausible explanations for things that seem unexplained or wrong with the environment. What function have social networks played to the success of QAnon? While Q's posts appear on fringe message boards, the QAnon phenomenon owes much of its prominence to Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, which, through their algorithms, have amplified QAnon messages and promoted QAnon groups and pages to new people. Furthermore, believers in QAnon have used social media to taunt, intimidate, and threaten their perceived rivals, and sow other forms of disinformation that end up influencing public discussion. Several of this year's most popular online conspiracy theories, such as Pandemic, a documentary making false and dangerous allegations about COVID-19, and a viral conspiracy theory that falsely stated that Wayfair, the online furniture business, was trafficking in children, were promoted and popularized by QAnon followers. Some of these networks are starting to try to delete QAnon content from their websites. Twitter blocked thousands of QAnon accounts recently, alleging they were engaging in organized harassment. Facebook has taken down nearly 800 QAnon groups, and thousands of QAnon-related groups, websites, and Instagram accounts are blocked. Have conspiracy theories about influential figures not always been far-fetched? Much of the subject matter of QAnon has indeed been recycled from earlier conspiracy theories. Yet QAnon is essentially an online network that works differently and on a different scale than anything we've seen before. QAnon is, for instance, profoundly participatory in a way that has been few other common conspiracy theories. In chat rooms and Facebook groups, followers meet to decipher the latest Q posts, share their thoughts about the news of the day, and connect with their fellow believers. The Atlantic called it the birth of a new faith. There is also the underlying danger of what adherents of QAnon do believe. Getting a divided political debate with heated debates is one thing. It is another getting a group of Americans who believe with utter honesty that the opposing party leaders are kidnapping and cannibalizing innocent children. Combine those aggressive paranoid dreams with the fact that followers of QAnon have been accused of committing serious crimes in the name of Q, and it's no wonder people are concerned. How did President Trump address QAnon? President Trump is the central and inspirational character in the core narrative of QAnon, the courageous nationalist chosen to save America from the global cabal. As a result, believers in QAnon closely interpret the words and actions of the president in search of secret meanings. When Mr. Trump says the number 17, they take it as a sign. He gives them hidden messages. Q is the alphabet's 17th letter. When he wears a pink tie, it is perceived as a symbol that he frees trafficked children. Some hospitals use the code pink as jargon for radical child abduction. It's uncertain whether or not Mr. Trump is aware of the obscure aspects of the QAnon theory, but he supported members of the movement, saying in a White House news conference that, "I've heard these are people who love our country." He also refused to condemn or disavow the movement when asked about his support for Ms. Green, the QAnon-affiliated candidate for Congress. And he's posted comments on his social media pages from QAnon supporters thousands of times. I've seen loads of people lately sharing hashtag #SaveTheChildren on my Facebook and Instagram accounts. Is it connected to QAnon? QAnon followers turn to the campaign to attract new supporters, hashtag #SaveTheChildren. QAnon supporters have been hijacking the hashtag, which began as a fundraising effort for a legitimate anti-trafficking group, as a recruitment tool for months. What they do is use misleading and sensational statements of child trafficking to grab the attention of a new audience, in this case concerned parents. Then they try to direct the debate to QAnon talking points, saying that the reason children are being trafficked, for example, is that the global elite wants to extract from their blood an allegedly life-extending drug. This particular strategy was particularly troublesome for legitimate anti-trafficking groups, which had to tackle clogged hotlines and pervasive disinformation as QAnon latched onto their question. Posting hashtag Save the Children just doesn't mean your mates are believers in QAnon. They may just have happened on a sex trafficking post that resonated with them and wanted to share it. But they should know, and you should, that these posts are part of a coordinated QAnon campaign. Marjorie Taylor Greene's Republican congressional primary victory in Georgia will, in all probability, guarantee a QAnon conspiracy theorist will represent the predominantly Republican district in the 117th Congress. But Green was only one of the primary candidates who supported the plot that corresponds with the Republicans' rally's theme of Q paraphernalia. The theory began in 2017 when 4chan started posting a cryptic poster called Q on the internet message board. Q quickly accrued a following, but its success did not skyrocket, until the pandemic broke out. Q's almost daily posts detail the existence of a satanic, pedophile cartel that secretly controls the government and other institutions. They pledge that Trump will soon take down the enterprise, which is run by Democrats and celebrities. This might sound like a new trend in American politics. Others would say a new low. But it is not the first time politicians have supported conspiracies to win seats in Congress as part of their platform. An anti-Masonic conspiracy theory dominated Northeastern politics in the 1820s. It also gave rise to a political party, the Anti-Masonic Party, which in the end held its presidential convention and elected the first third-party candidate of the United States. Illuminati and Anti-Masons. The Freemasons were founded in early 18th century Britain as a fraternal association of the upper class. Members expanded exponentially, and many prominent American politicians and thinkers entered the ranks, including Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and Paul Revere. The clandestine existence, elaborate rituals, and the wealth and influence of its members from the very beginning made the Masons fuel for conspiracy theorists. Since it always questioned the church's authority, conspiracies against the Masons tended to portray the party as anti-Christian or even satanic. In 1798, British author John Robison published a text claiming that a secret cabal of Freemasons had created a community called the Illuminati, peddling a cosmopolitical ideology bent on subverting all religions and opposing state authority. Anti-Masonic fervor has taken place in the United States after the disappearance and alleged murder of a Mason, William Morgan, in the 1820s. Morgan had promised to write a book that would reveal Masonic secrets. Local representatives begged Morgan to abandon the book project. They had him arrested for a debt of less than $3 when he declined. He was never seen again after being released on bail. Local Masons were commonly believed to have destroyed him to keep him from revealing their secret rituals. Rage at the suspected assassination and cover-up contributed to widespread condemnation of secret societies and the founding of the Anti-Masonic Party, a modern political party. Lying on a platform against corruption, immorality, and elitism, in 1827 the party won 15 state legislative seats, and its ranks swelled thanks to an orchestrated campaign of the media. At one point, party supporters were publishing 35 weekly newspapers, and in the 1830s, they elected thousands of party members to Congress. In the Northeast, the movement was most prominent, particularly in areas that had been severely affected by evangelical revivals. Evangelicals were drawn to his condemnation of immoral behaviors, while working-class members appreciated the anti-elitist rhetoric of the party. The Anti-Masonic Party opposed President Andrew Jackson, who was a Mason during the presidential election of 1832, and had intended to support his rival Henry Clay. But the party went on to back a third-party candidate, William Wirt, after members found out that Clay was also a Mason. The Anti-Masons held their convention, and Wirt won 8% of the vote in the presidency. After the election, the Anti-Masonic Party united with former Republicans to form the Whig Party, which for many decades would become a force in American politics. Several influential Whigs were initially members of the Anti-Masonic Party, from former President Millard Fillmore to former New York Governor William Seward. Investigative journalist Chip Burlett who has written extensively on the propagation of conspiracy theories, pointed out that there are common patterns in many of the conspiracies related to American politics. Every day, Americans appear to be owned by a hidden network of affluent insiders who exploit corrupt politicians, mendacious editors, school teachers propagandizing, and sinister bankers. Like the anti-Masonic conspiracies, adherents of QAnon believe a secret elite organization secretly governs social structures for satanic ends. The plot also appears to be a great awakening through which the people would eventually understand and bring to justice the presence of the depraved cabal. A bumper sticker celebrates the Great Awakening. The anti-Masonic party recognized the value of using the media to attract a larger public. Adherents of QAnon have used social media sites as digital megaphones. Facebook and Twitter recently blocked QAnon groups and videos, but only after their sites helped the movement exponentially expand. A recent Facebook study found that millions of members have QAnon-affiliated groups on the site. There is also a significant difference between the two conspiracies. Indeed, the Freemasons are a secret society. They may have overstated their influence, but they still represented an entire community of citizens, many of whom held positions of authority. The group identified by QAnon loops in individuals from George Soros to Jeffrey Epstein, who has long been targeted by conspiracy theorists. Anyone, however, may be accused of being part of the satanic ring, and it becomes that much harder to contend with the conspiracies to either prove the innocence of a person or disprove the conspiracy. Public coverage blasts back. Political scientist Michael Barkin defines conspiracy theories as stigmatized knowledge, in which attempts to invalidate the hypotheses merely strengthen prejudices among adherents, who see these actions as confirmation that those in authority want the theories mixed. This is the same catalyst that no doubt helped to turn the unresolved mystery of the abduction of William Morgan into a national political movement. QAnon discussions also accuse mass media of purposely discrediting them to help the cabal. One commentator wrote in a YouTube video explaining Q, conspiracy theory is CIA speak for, uh-oh, you remember. A poster on Q Study Forum asked, where is the journalist going to do what the mainstream media aren't going to tell you about Q story? Marjorie Taylor Greene had publicly expressed QAnon's support in Facebook videos before winning her congressional runoff. That may sound like a small number, but elections can serve as critical forums for growing movements. A survey conducted by Emerson in 2019 showed 5% of Americans believe in QAnon. They introduce more voters to specific individuals who hold those values and ideas at their most fundamental level. Even a small group of mobilized conspiracy may have an outsized impact on broader society, as in the anti-Masonic party, and growing participation in elected officials may end up legitimating fringe convictions. This is especially true if the media and the political establishment malign such politicians like Green. Chapter 4, The New World Order. The New World Order is not so much a single story as a historical way of thinking. At its most basic level, a conspiracy, operating in secret as well as by official, seeming above-ground means, aims to create a one-world government that is all-powerful, probably Luciferian. The doubts about the Shadow State date back to at least the 1700s when the Freemasons and the Illuminati were born. But it was the world wars of the past century, political realignments, and media developments that brought this age-old fear new purchase. The New World Order of the current version hides in plain sight, a Mad Libs-style meta-story of how the free people of the West gladly, knowingly, have started to surrender themselves to our coming totalitarian overlords. It's never entirely obvious what they plan to do to us. The fear seems to be more about the new part than the order part. A New World Order timeline for conspiracy theories. 1966, Mary M. Davison publishes The Profound Revolution, a manifesto of sorts arguing that the New World Order hides in plain sight, and describing how real-life organizations such as the Federal Reserve, the Council on Foreign Affairs, and the U.S. government work as fronts for the secret system of the financial bankers. The book amplifies themes of advanced communist penetration in contemporary bestsellers, such as John Stormer's None Dare Call It Treason and William Guy Carr's The Red Fog Over America and Pawns in the Game, classics of the One World Rule that warn of a very specific political trajectory. First, they fluoridate the water, then World War III. 1971. Strong Christian anti-communist hysteria and an interest in cultural organization gathered in the 1950s in the John Birch Society, founded in 1958 by, among others, Fred Koch, the father of Charles and David, which interpreted civil rights legislation, the emergence of the welfare state, and workplace safety regulations as signs of a coming one-world government. In 1972, conservative columnist Gary Allen published None Dare Call It Conspiracy, prefaced by California Congressman John Schmitz, which expands the hysteria to deficit spending and simple banking, offering tales of how institutions such as the Council on Foreign Affairs and the Trilateral Commission are pushing out the economic agenda of an unseen multinational power elite. It sells more than 5 million copies. 1978. Concern that the NWO state will act first to confiscate the arms of those who may oppose it drives William Luther Pierce's The Turner Diaries, a colorful racist novel about the downtrodden group, White Revolutionary Movement's 2099 rebellion against the all-powerful regime, the left-wing Jewish government and its banks. The book, which starts with the passage of gun control legislation, will become a sacred text of the paranoid racist right. 1983. Tex Mars and his partner Wanda, former Air Force officer and scholar, publish A Great Name for Your Cat, the first of many books they write to support readers in their careers and personal lives. Mars' authorial style will take on a more apocalyptic tone in the late 80s and early 90s as he starts to reveal the sinister aspects in which the political elite is tied to the Antichrist. Newt Gingrich is a Marxist closet and founder of the Bohemian Grove, an underground secret society, he told a reporter in 1996. March 6, 1991. President George H.W. Bush delivers a speech to Congress outlining the prospects for post-Cold War economic collaboration and internationalism. It involves a bad use of words. The president says, after decades of conflict, we can see a new world coming into view, a future in which there is the very real possibility of new world order. Bush's words allow for a range of fears, from a new age of American imperialism in the Middle East to a one-world government run by the UN. The end of the Cold War causes a new panic. The emphasis is on the emerging New World Order declared by globalization and borderlessness in the NAFTA model. 1991, Pat Robertson's The New World Order is the best seller, with a litany of villains: Freemasons, Wall Street, International Policy Council, New Age Mystics, and Milton William Bill Cooper publishes Behold a Pale Horse, Deep Underground. 1992, Operation Vampire Killer 2000, concerned about the effects of NAFTA on national sovereignty courses. His creator, Jack McLam, a former Arizona police sergeant, will be founding an organization called Police and Military Against the New World Order. The vampires of McLam are metaphorical. The enemy is whoever tries to disrupt our national boundaries. They, the globalists, have announced that the year 2000 is the date the American way of life ends. November 30th, 1993. President Bill Clinton signs the Brady Handgun Act on the Prevention of Violence. As everyone now knows, especially after Ruby Ridge and Waco, gun control is the first step towards a one-world government. 1993 to 2002. X-Files offers the gift of intense skepticism to a generation. The creepiest moments are not those concerning UFOs or the paranormal. They are the glimpses into the government's off-limited storage facilities, the covert meetings and cover-ups monitored by the shadow workers. February 28, 1995. NWO headquarters, a.k.a. Denver International Airport, opens. April 19, 1995. 2 years to the day after the conclusion of the Waco siege, he had gone and watched the standoff shortly before its violent end. Timothy McVeigh and his conspirators detonate a truck bomb outside the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, an innocuous bureaucratic building that McVeigh, weaned from pro-militia literature and shortwave radio broadcasts, takes on the role of an innocuous bureaucratic building that the explosion kills 168 civilians, making it the most bloodthirsty act of homegrown terrorism in U.S. history, but fails to trigger a broader counter-revolution in the NWO. November 21, 1995. Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Secret society to try to keep an eye on me. Prodigy raps on a remix of LL Cool J's I Shot Ya. NWO paranoia infects hip-hop in the 90s as artists like KRS-One, Poor Righteous Teachers, Wu-Tang Clan, and Tupac reimagine the establishment concepts of the aware late 80s movement for darker times. July 7th, 1996. A break in the televised feed, and then an ominous warning. The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. A renegade wrestler brotherhood is staging a hostile takeover of the arena, and World Championship Wrestling is launching New World Order, one of the most successful storylines in the history of the sport. July 21, 2001. Radio host Alex Jones accuses the U.S. government of plotting terrorism and refers to Osama bin Laden as the bogeyman they need in this imaginary Orwellian scheme. February 2007. The Montana House of Representatives released a joint resolution against the NAFTA Superhighway, a network of roads extending from Canada via the United States to Mexico, which marked the first step toward the dissolution of our boundaries and the creation of a hemispheric North American Union. October 13, 2008. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is pushing for a modern Bretton Woods to establish a vision for the future economy for the existing economies of the world, interpreting Brown's comments as a concession that the New World Order is genuine. Fox pundit Sean Hannity later proclaims that those people in the conspiracy indicated that for years. March 2009. They put a dark face on the New World Order. KRS-One not celebrating Barack Obama's inauguration. January 7th, 2012. Beyonce and Jay-Z welcomed their first child into their lives. They call their daughter Blue, born living under evil Ivy, very youngest of Illuminati Carter, in an apparent nod to their superiors. The One World Currency. The One World Currency Plan is another thing conspiracy theorists have built up their sleeves. Another speculative theory assumes the entire globe would share one currency, presumably held by the Rothschilds and the Bilderberg Group. Now, this hypothesis is again related to the development of cashless society, and if you want to be even cleverer, this idea will refer to the beast image. The one world currency will be trackable, and those funds will be required to be used by all on the globe. That's where Bitcoin comes in, and some speculators assume that because the blockchain is traceable, the technology is part of the paradigm shift from cashless society. Bitcoin is going to be the one world currency. The Occupy Corporatism website, for example, suggests this might be the case. The technocratic movement towards cyber currency or e-money is a march toward full control over global currencies, with the creation of technological support and distribution that enables online money representation that can be used to trade with another fiat system, explains Suzanne Posell of Occupy Corporatism. The reason conspiracy theorists claim that a global currency is on its way is that, over the years, many Keynesian economists have endorsed that theory. Even John Maynard Keynes himself was cited as a single supporter of the world currency. This school of economic thought claims it will benefit the global economy and promote international commerce. The start of this effort was considered to be the introduction of the euro, a currency that covers many countries. However, after the Brexit vote in recent times, several countries, such as Britain, for example, distance themselves from the euro. As for Bitcoin, is the world's reserve currency, some estimate that by 2030 it will be the sixth largest reserve currency in the world. So for some of these theorists, Bitcoin is yet another step for the wealthy, secretly created, cashless, one-world currency. In essence, every electronic currency is accused of being part of the plot of 1% to enslave society's ordinary plebes. Just the other day, on July 25th, 2017, The Before It's News publication released an article titled, "The Globalist One World Currency Will Be Quite Close to Bitcoin," but these theories continue to be wild. It's extremely doubtful that Bitcoin will be a one world currency or the beast's label. Bitcoin is indeed an unusual phenomenon packed with curious people like Satoshi Nakamoto. But it doesn't mean that the CIA developed Bitcoin and that it would be used for one world currency or even the beast's mark. The Illuminati conspiracy theory and the deep state. Someone who is a fan of the Illuminati conspiracy theory claims there's a powerful and hidden group named the Illuminati that aims to establish a centralized, totalitarian world government. This new world order, so-called, entails a single government consisting of Illuminati members that would control the whole Earth. A poll of the Illuminati reveals that 23% of Americans believe in the Illuminati and the New World Order. There also appears to be a correlation with conservative values, as many conservatives are disappointed with the amount of government intervention in private matters. There are several different hypotheses as to who controls the Illuminati, but the general belief is that it involves actors as well as government officials. Knowledge regarding the Illuminati is extremely prevalent in YouTube's segment on conspiracy theories, in films, even on websites including www.illuminatiofficial.org. Today, this idea enjoys prominence as most people are somewhat aware of the Illuminati, even though they don't believe in it. This hypothesis is remarkable because its arguments are exceptional. They are going against what we already know about our planet. To the degree that we are taught, various countries have different governments, and America in particular has protections against authoritarianism. The belief that there is a community that will govern everything defies the wishes for independence for people of the Founding Fathers, on which our country is founded. There are many various types of evidence that humans use to explain the Illuminati's presence. For example, there are many symbols such as the Eye of Horus and the Pyramid, both on U.S. currency. When people see this in mass media, they assume it is indicative of the Illuminati presence in that company organization. Another explanation people think the Illuminati is that it existed in the past. It was founded in Germany by somebody who wanted to have a forum where people could be debating secularism. The Illuminati, however, had been about anti-religiosity and free thinking during this period. But many people assume that when the church shut down the organization, it proceeded underground and still operates under the New World Order agenda. Another piece of evidence proponents cite is that cops have been more heavily armed than ever before, which is reflective of police militarization by the government. We will have to have a large police force under a New World Order to control the people. Finally, there are also reports that the Illuminati are to brainwash society, to kill celebrities and replace them with clones. These statements are backed up by video clips of certain celebrities looking confused or gazing into space to indicate they're glitching. There are examples of Beyoncé, Eminem, and Al Roker, for example, gazing into space or frozen in news footage for extended periods. Also, there is a long list of facts challenging the Illuminati's nature. For one, there is no definitive proof that indicates the Illuminati exists. Most of the evidence claimed for the Illuminati depends on proponent hypotheses or proponent-interpreted video clips. There's no way to verify that the Illuminati exists, however, since it's hard to prove it doesn't exist, since it's a hidden society. Also, many people have questioned why so many hints will be put out by a culture that is supposed to be so discreet that they exist to understand followers. If the group were actual and their primary objective was to conceal their presence, it would make more sense for them to delete any videos or online material about the Illuminati and not present any evidence to the world. Thousands of Illuminati conspiracy videos are currently on YouTube. Finally, there's the idea that the desire to make money by whatever means possible is very important in our capitalist society. Skeptics point out that if people put in their material, occult or Illuminati symbols, it will help them gain attention because people want to talk about conspiracies. If influencers are deliberately integrating this material into their content, it will at least falsify some of the Illuminati's evidence statements. Two major cognitive contributions influence the propensities of people to believe in the Illuminati: confirmation bias and the reasoning error discussed in Filchers. For confirmation bias, much of the evidence used to prove the Illuminati's presence in popular culture, videos, television, celebrity behavior, etc. When people see these vague sources of knowledge, they often find a way to construe the facts in such a way as to reinforce their opinion. There was a Beyoncé clip at a basketball game, for instance, where she was zoned out for 30 minutes and turning her head from side to side. This video was used to show that celebrities are killed and then replaced with glitch clones at times. This was an unclear source. Beyoncé may have been zoned out and shifted her head as her eyes followed the action of the basketball game she was watching. Illuminati conspiracies, however, interpreted this video to mean that Beyoncé is a member of the Illuminati and that she was gleaming. When you consider any piece of vague information revealed to you to be proof for the Illuminati, this reifies the power of the conviction that you hold. In the lines mentioned in the example, these conspiracies would be ignoring all the time that Beyoncé acted normally because it didn't fit into their narrative. The problem of logic is yet another cognitive contribution. Ryan Bergara and Shane Medege, 2016, interviewed a conspiracy theory professor who spoke about how many Illuminati followers use a trail of evidence to support their beliefs. They begin in small steps where their logic sounds logical, and then suddenly make a mad leap toward where their reasoning begins to sound irrational. This falls into a philosophical problem, because while the premises might be real, the assumptions aren't from the premises. For instance, they may begin by discussing how the government is too involved in people's lives, rational, particularly after the Patriot Act, and then leap that all government is made up of lizard people who rule the planet. I assume that those who accept the theory are misinformed because they assume that these complicated concrete patterns occur in randomness, apophenia. It is easy to fall into this degree of error when the knowledge begins small as a foot in the door and spirals into these enormous, unlikely theories of conspiration. I wouldn't say there's one particular group from which Illuminati believers come, but there are common characteristics among subsets of the population. Conservative views are one trait. The Illuminati and conservatives, as described, share the vital conviction that the government is deeply involved in the lives of its people, including Mark Kornke, David Icke, Pat Robertson, and Donald Marshall. Many of the latest Illuminati theorists are right-wingers. Another aspect deriving from right-wing populism is anti-Semitism. The plot of the Illuminati is fundamentally anti-Semitic, since a large part of the faithful's population believes that Jews rule the world, similar to the propaganda declared during Nazi Germany. Believing that one party dominates the planet is in line with the Illuminati theory and the New World Order. Lastly, I would suggest that Illuminati adherents usually are people who have a lot of cynicism and mistrust of the environment around them. Assuming in conspiracies is assuming that what you see around you are not an objective reality, but rather a truth that has been constructed to dupe you somehow. There is a sense of belonging to the social forces that help support their values. If you have a profound distrust of the world around you, this philosophy runs contrary to our main belief in the truth. This may separate you from the wider society, but this supports your devotion to belief as you meet people who are like you and who believe what you believe. If in your assumption you were alone, you might give in to the burden of social norms. Yet you've got people with a large group of believers to back up your point of view. If you believe in the Illuminati or not, you can't deny it's one of the most famous conspiracies currently out there. The problem with this idea is that it reifies traditional views of Jews running the world, and it generates a sense of fear and paranoia in society to say that someday, in an oppressive government, we will all be governed. The psychological explanations for the belief system, including confirmation bias, logical mistakes, stereotypical heuristics, and group mentality, help build a more realistic view of this conspiracy theory. By understanding why people hold this conviction and how it is psychologically sustained, we will strive to educate the public to think more objectively about unverified conspiracy theories, as well as more scientifically examine the public around us. Chapter 5. The Deep State. What is the Deep State? Turkish Prime Minister and presidential candidate Recep Tayyip Erdogan's campaign poster in Istanbul, August 8, 2014. Reuters. Indeed, the word is a translation of the Turkish term Derin Devlet. As the historian Ryan Gingeras described, it emerged as a way of defining a kind of shadow or parallel system of government in which unofficial or publicly unrecognized individuals play important roles in the conception and execution of state policies. In the case of Turkey, such as unrecognized individuals, in fact, were members of organized criminal organizations operating inside the government. Gingeras, an expert on organized crime in Turkey, explained how alliances between generals, government officials, and narcotic smugglers, paramilitaries, terrorists, and other criminals enabled policies that directly contravene the letter and spirit of the law to be established and executed. In the Turkish case, following the fall of the Ottoman Empire, the origin of such alliances can be traced to struggles for influence in the first decades of the preceding century. the drug cartels and the government's interpenetration in Mexico is just another sign of a deep state at work. The involvement of cartel allies at all levels in official positions and the police hierarchy makes it almost difficult for any president to overthrow them. Even the upright Andres Manuel López Obrador. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak leaves court during his trial on a gurney bed in Cairo on January 2, 2012. Freedom. Even the term deep state was used to describe the military's position in Egypt. As Sarah Chase wrote in Government Divers,